Masters in on the deal after I asked if that would be a good idea, because one of the callers from Monterey, I think, brought Roy up in his meditation exercise, which has done a lot to help people deal with negative emotions and so forth. So it was really interesting. I mean, there's no one in between. You either hate Roy or you love him, you know.
That's
so
right.
Yeah, so anyhow, I don't know what kind of feedback you got after all that, but yeah, I got a lot of praise and a lot of anger also. But
it was the same on my end.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, whatever. You just never know. I guess that's what talk radio is all about. You never know what's going to happen. So I guess what we will do right now is do the official opening, and I think I can do that from my end. So let's hit the button and see. Yeah, are you? Yeah, there it is. Okay. So let's just do this here.
That's the show close.
Yeah, right. That said hour one open. No, we got to do this right. Here we go.
Good
morning. 3, 2, 1, take it.
Good morning.
That sounds okay, right?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Good morning. May we bring you cheer.
We've got time. We've got tunes. We've got time, tunes, and temperature.
Get up and go, it's today, you know, on KSCO Radio.
Get up and go indeed. Welcome, Monterey Bay, Silicon Valley, Central California, to the KSCO Saturday Special with MZ and Phil Marlowe at the controls. We're going to be having one of them open mic type programs today. It's going to be caller driven. We'll put out some possible topics for suggestion. We're going to have fun for the next 2 hours, so we hope you will stay with us.
Good morning. Now stay right here on KSCO Radio.
Okay, now, yeah, okay, it's going to be one of those. That music means it's going to be a crossfire type program. That means it's a premonition. It's a premonition that there's going to be some controversy on this program. That's usually what that music means, right? And that's what came up. All right. Phone numbers are 479-1080 or 477-1340. We do have a fax line at 475-2967. Not too many people use it these days, right, Phil? Or do people use it now and then?
We just got one guy, serial faxer.
Oh, well, of course, yeah. You know, that's going to be horrible. I mean, that's that's one reason that we'll never get rid of the fax machine, because, you know, if we would be getting rid of serials, great contributions to the program, which are generally quite visual. So anyhow, that number is 475-2967. If you want to fax us, the email is mz@ksco.com. I do have a computer up so that I'll be able to monitor the email. So if you want to participate in the program via email, again, the email address is mz@ksco.com. That's good anytime you want to email me with suggestions about the station or ideas or whatever. Please feel free to do so. So I guess what we'll do here is start the program officially here, and I guess it just takes a while for the thing to refresh here. That's what's going on, so that's why I'll probably be able to operate the phones. Now, I think a good thing to do would be to we don't normally do this until the beginning of the second hour, but my mom Kay has this week come out with a commentary about I'm not even going to tell you what it's about. I'm just going to play it at the head of the program. We may or may not want to. It might stimulate some discussion. I think it will. It's something to think about here. So let me go ahead and and plug that into the to the other computer here, and hit the button and see if it comes out here. Okay. Well, I don't. Oh, 1 second. 1, 3, 2, 1.
The following is a KSCO commentary. Here is Kay's Whirling.
On the philosophical discussion of what's it all about, Alfie,
Evolutionists who have had easy access to public classrooms now vigorously oppose that same access to believers of intelligent design, a newly coined phrase to describe and explain human existence conferred by a higher being whom many of us call God. These are two separate valid theories, so why shouldn't they both be discussed openly in classrooms? Evolutionists contend that humans evolved first as a cluster of cells which through millions of years became apes, then humanids, then Neanderthals, and finally Homo sapiens, or human beings with highly developed brains. One can wonder, at what point did the original cell separate and become male and female? Evolution is a neat scientific theory which leaves important issues not addressed, and many of us reject it as incomplete. How was the world itself created? Proponents of intelligent design contend that God first created the world, then a man, and then the man's companion, a woman, both exquisitely formed human creatures who together learned how to reproduce themselves in their offspring. Every single organ is so perfectly functional, with brains like high-powered computers, protected in bone skulls, eyes to see, ears to hear, thumbs to grasp. Every other organ which makes up a human being is so complex and equipped with deep emotions and sensitivity and the ability to reason. All in all, the person is such a complex creature that it's too simplistic to believe that it all came together by way of evolution. Back to the here and now. Evolutionists believe that there's no place in the classroom for intelligent design because the Constitution states there must be a separation of church and state. That is, in fact, a red herring. No place in the Constitution does it mention the separation of church and state. Our country was founded on Judeo-Christian principles. Our forefathers borrowed from the Ten Commandments and the Golden Rule and incorporated them with the Bill of Rights and the Constitution to create the greatest and most enduring democracy in the world. Despite complaints from secularists who are always offended and want to eradicate every public mention of God and religion. Many of us are becoming weary of pandering to the delicate sensibilities of the secularists at the expense of our own beliefs, so I trust that will not be happening much longer. Recently, we made sure that Merry Christmas remains and In God We Trust will not be removed from our coins and currency. So to those complainants, I say, get over it. If it's too painful, check out Canada. About our young people, I believe both evolution and intelligent design should be taught in classrooms, preferably in the high school level. Let students decide for themselves what they choose to believe. I save the best for last. Think about it. God has endowed every human being with a soul that will endure through eternity. Does evolution believe in the existence of a soul? For KSCO and KOMY, this is Kay Swirling.
Now, all I can say is, yay, Kay. Now, listen, it's true, gang. She's my mom, but she's brilliant. I mean, what can you say? Who can argue with anything that she just said? Who can argue? I don't think anybody can. 479-1080 or 477-1340.
We've got somebody on the line who would like to argue.
Oh, it's probably Billy in Capitola.
Guess what? You're right.
Yeah, okay. That's our only... Wait just a second here. Is Billy on?
Nobody is on.
Oh, okay. All right.
Do you not want Billy on yet?
I can actually. No, it's okay. I can control it here, but that's fine. Hold on just a second. Let me test to make sure that I can control the phones here remotely. Here, I think Billy is on now. Am I right?
Somebody is on.
Okay. Now let's put it on hold here. And is Billy on hold?
Nobody is on.
Okay.
No, Billy's still on the air.
Well, that's really strange how I've got the screen here, but it doesn't seem to work. Now, but okay, so go ahead, Nobody, you're on.
If you want to control me, Michael, just ask me and I'll do whatever you ask.
No, it's okay. It's not a question of controlling you. It's a question of me deciding when the callers come on and so forth. And I think I can do it, but I guess I can't. So I'm going to need Phil's help here, and that's fine. Go ahead, Bill, you're on.
Well, as you know, I enjoy your mom's editorials. She speaks so beautifully, and you know, she's got such gumption, but boy, is she wrong on this one. You know, you say nobody could disagree, and that's why I call up as Nobody, because I don't want to make you wrong.
Oh, I got you. Okay.
Yeah, now you get it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, first of all, this answer is going to both answer your mother and Quigley from last week. Last week, we kept hearing that this is a Christian country. Do you believe that to be true, Mike?
Well, Judeo-Christian, I think. Yeah, pretty much.
That's what your mother said. Your mother said Judeo-Christian.
Yeah, yeah.
But what I hear from the War on Christmas jerks...
what happened? He dropped off. And I didn't do it, I swear. Who did? Did you?
Oh, no. I'm sorry, that's my fault.
Oh, you did that?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, he's going to think that I did that, and I didn't.
Okay, Billy, honest. Go ahead and call back. In the meantime, I'm sorry. We've got Dave on the line, though. Dave?
Okay, well, Dave, is this, which Dave is this?
I'm right here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you. Go ahead.
Okay. Hey, you know, my point is this, is for the last, I don't know, what, 6 months, a year, however long this intelligent design has been in the news, you know, we've heard a lot of this term being repeated. What I am asking for is for this radio station to come up with a guess that purports this position and come up with some specifics on their theory.
Which position now? I'm sorry, Dave. Might you be that person? Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, might you be that person? I'm not even sure which position you're talking about, actually.
I am talking about the position of, let's hear some specifics of the intelligent design theory. I hear nothing. Nada. It's like long on rap, short on act. Let's hear some specifics from these people.
Okay. All right.
Can you get a guest that can come out and nail it down? 1, 2, 3, 4. I want to hear what the theory is. We keep hearing there's a theory, but nobody says what it is.
Okay. Well, calm down, Dave. I mean, geez, it's not the end of the world here. I mean, you sound really emotional about
it.
It
might be the end.
Are you on a cell phone that's cutting in and out?
Yeah, I live over by the Pinnacle.
Oh, my. That is a long way, and you have a nice dog.
I got a really nice dog.
Oh, that's cool.
Very interested in flushing out a rabbit out of underneath a car.
All right. Well. Look,
get somebody that can come up with some specifics on this so-called theory.
Okay.
I mean, we need to hear. We've heard the term repeated over and over and over, and yet nobody comes up with anything.
Oh, you're talking about the intelligent design term. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
That's a relatively new term. I only noticed that being used fairly recently, but maybe I've got my head in the sand. Maybe that's been in use for a while. It seems to me to be a relatively new term.
A year, 6 months to a year.
Uh-huh.
And so far, I just hear the term repeated and over and over until, like, what? And if it
okay,
comes
let's,
out,
let's see what we can do, okay?
Yeah.
We got a lot of people listening, presumably. Sure.
Thank you.
Maybe Billy can help us out, although, and he's back here, so we'll try to bring him back on the air here.
And Billy's back.
Okay.
Hi, Billy.
Hi, MZ.
Hey there. Sorry about that.
No problem. I don't blame you. I actually think probably God was involved. You know,
I'll pray for you.
In answer to the previous caller, the reason why you can't get details about intelligent design is because there are none. The essence of the theory is this. Things are complicated. We're too stupid to understand how they get there. Therefore, we believe in some big sky god must have done it because we don't understand. It's everything. It's the same answer that religion has for everything. When God works in strange ways, we make up stuff to make ourselves comfortable. You know, here's the problem with your mom's editorial, and that is that what we're discussing is whether intelligent design, by the way, Michael, you're pointing out that you hadn't heard it until recently. That's because it used to be called creationism.
Yeah.
Remember that one?
Yeah.
Yeah. So when creationism didn't work, because it was clearly just a bunch of Bible crapola being shoved down kids' throats, they came up with intelligent design. And by the way, you got to admit, this was an intelligent move on their part because they're a lot more successful with it.
When did you first hear the term?
About a year and a half ago, 2 years ago.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And, you know, there's an institute in Seattle whose job it is to sort of show up at all these court cases and argue for intelligent design. The bottom line is, of course, that you can teach intelligent design anywhere but in science class. Science class is exactly that. It's about science, which is observable, testable, repeatable. You can't observe, test, or repeat intelligent design. It's a matter of faith. It just doesn't belong in science class. If you want to teach it in Hebrew school, or in Catholic school, or after school, or any place that stupid, superstitious people get together, that's fine. But, Michael, you don't want to see science turned into whatever the Christians, whom, by the way, I got cut off when I was saying this, the Treaty of Tripoli, 1789 or around then, specifically said that America is not a Christian country. And it's a good thing that it's not, because as an atheist, when I look around, I see Islamo-fascists around the world and Christian fascists in America telling us that they can't celebrate Christmas. And if you say happy holidays, you're a Jew-loving idiot. And we've got to put a stop to that. There's nothing intelligent design about where we find ourselves.
Billy, why don't you let people just be free and say and think what they want?
Well, that's fine, Michael. But when they try to make what they think the law of the land, when they try to make children stupid in science class, don't you see why we shouldn't allow that? You think we should let it go?
Well, I think people should be exposed to all points of view in school.
Not in science class. You don't teach, you know, English in science class. You don't teach religion in science class. How about that? That's all I'm saying. Can't you go that far? Stand up, Mike, and say it doesn't belong in science class. How about it?
It doesn't... Well, wait a minute. I don't think anybody's ever. I don't think anybody's addressed the whole thought of. We're not even talking about science class. We're talking about it doesn't belong in school at all.
But that's it. No.
Now,
Michael,
you're trying to pin me down to say it. To say it really doesn't. Will I at least say it doesn't belong in a science class?
Yes.
Will you at least say that it should be allowed in school somewhere? How about if we do a quid pro quo? I'll say that if you say that.
Well, but one is true and the other isn't. It's true that doesn't belong in science class. I'm not so sure it's true that it belongs in school at all. So it's apples and oranges.
All right. Yeah.
But that's the point, by the way. We're not arguing.
I think the question
is not whether it belongs in school. The question is specifically in each case, science class and in science textbooks. Sentences like, evolution is just a theory, and you need to look into intelligent design. That just doesn't belong in science class. The kids can chat about it in the hall, and they can talk about it in church. It doesn't belong in science class.
Okay, Billy, thanks for saying your piece. I hope there are some more people like you who call today. And okay. All right, thanks. Okay, there goes Billy in Capitola. It looks like we've got ringing on line 2. It looks like we've got ringing on line 3. It looks like we've got Don in Soquel. It looks like we've got Dave Allen. Oh my God, can this be? Do we have Trucker Tom?
We certainly do.
Oh, let's bring Trucker Tom on, okay? Trucker Tom is probably en route between two places. Are you impressed with my powers of observation, Trucker Tom?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Okay, you're driving your big rig. Where are you now?
I am in between Laramie and Cheyenne, Wyoming.
And so, where are you coming from? Where are you going to?
I am coming from Wisconsin with a load of cheese on my way to Tulare, California.
Okay. All righty. Now, I guess you're listening to the Saturday special on the cell phone, right? I mean, you don't have a moving way, at least where you are, to listen to our web stream, right?
That is correct. Uh-huh. I did have an observation. I've heard most of the comments so far. One of the things you might ask, like the fellow that was just on.
Billy, yeah.
He sounded awfully angry, by the way.
Uh-huh.
But one of the things you might ask them, are there any absolutes? And then, of course, they're going to say no, and then you say, are you absolutely sure? And if they say yes, they've contradicted themselves.
It's like I'd give my right arm to be ambidextrous.
Uh-huh.
You know,
that is a contradiction. Uh-huh. So therefore, there are absolutes. And so I think the truth is somewhere in the middle between evolution and creation. But why creation, the idea of creation and or intelligent design, is absolutely threatening to people that don't want to believe in God is because they want to believe that they are God.
Yeah.
And it really boils down to an ego thing. And we, I believe...
My favorite subject, egos.
I believe that we are all sort of in varying degrees of conflict with God. And we sort of know God as a kind of a nagging conscience. But I believe we're in conflict with it, and we will go to all kinds of extremes to try to stamp it out and eliminate any reminders that there is a God. But there is, and we can rationalize. And
I bought into it a long time ago, and I'm not particularly religious, but I'm becoming more spiritual every day.
Yeah, no, I'm not religious. I'm not religious at all, but I do consider myself spiritual. And just look at it logically, you know,
all this can't be. All this can't be without...
No, it couldn't, yeah. No, because it goes against all the laws of thermodynamics.
Yeah.
Things, you know, the things are kind of falling apart. Well, how in the world did something as complex as an amoeba, an amoeba evolve? There had to be something pushing that to happen, because it's going in the opposite way of everything sort of deteriorating.
Hey, Phil, would you lock Trucker Tom on so that we don't lose him? Great. You can do that. I can't. And then we'll conference in some of the other people here.
Now, Michael, there should be a little drop-down window at the top of your window.
Yeah?
What does it say in there? Under control surface?
Under control surface.
That should say studio in it.
Yeah, it does.
It does?
Yeah.
All right, try to... control some.
Yeah, I can't even control that.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's just a latency. I don't know. It must be the internet connection or the remote desktop or whatever. It's just not working today. I can see that Jim is on line 2. I can see that Don is on line 5. I can see that Trucker Tom is on line 8.
Okay.
That's fine. But yeah, if he's locked in, then we won't lose him, and we'll be able to keep him on. By the way, before we get much farther into the program, I want to explain to our audience, for those of you who missed the Trucker Tom Saturday special back in, I think it was October, I'll sort of bring you up to speed here real quick in 30 seconds or a minute here. I read about this interesting trucker character whilst on an airline trip. Michael Olson and I visited Montana together. He's a Montana boy, always wanted to show me around, always wanted to see it. So I finally got to do it with the greatest guide you could possibly have. And on our way there on the flight, he handed me this article that was in the on the in-flight magazine for Southwest Airlines, and he said, "Z, read this, you will enjoy it." And boy, was he right. It talked all about a man named Tom Wiles, who is a trucker who used to be bored a lot of the time with his trucking while he was standing around waiting for loads to be loaded and unloaded, or standing around even longer, sometimes for days, waiting for parts for the broken-down truck to arrive wherever he is so that he can continue. And he discovered technology. I guess he's sort of been a techie from way back, but he discovered mobile technology as it has evolved. And now I think it's fair to say that Trucker Tom Wiles is anything but bored anytime. Am I right?
That is true. I'm not bored anymore.
Right.
That's absolutely true.
And he's become a folk hero of sorts in the world of podcasting. Now, there are some people, many people in broadcasting who are avoiding using the term, like you avoid talking too much about satellite radio, because why would you want to talk about something or promote something that is going to compete with you, or, you know, reduce your audience or whatever. But I'm not of that opinion. I guess I'm a nutter. Maybe I'm not the an optimal businessman, or maybe I just don't know. Maybe I just don't know what I'm doing. But to me, ladies and gentlemen, the most exciting. I have not been as excited about anything in my life as I am right now about the future of portable media. The thought of being able to listen or see or participate in electronic media. Where you want, what you want, where you want, and when you want is very, very exciting to me. And I've only recently become an avid podcast listener myself. Now, internet radio has been around for many years, probably a decade, I think, that we've been streaming, and people have been able to listen to KSCO around the world, and we do have quite a number of people who listen to our station from various parts of the world. Many of them are former Santa Cruz, Monterey Bay area residents who, for one reason or other, left the area. It was too expensive, or they sold their house for a fortune and could retire and live like kings just about anywhere else. And other people have just sort of stumbled upon us. We have a pretty significant audience, I think, listening to our web stream. But they have to listen to what we are streaming at the time. And a lot of times, we are not streaming what we are broadcasting, because the big companies don't allow us to webcast what they tell us, what they license us to broadcast. Perfect example is the Rush Limbaugh show. They called us and said, "Are you webcasting?" And we said, "Are you streaming our program?" And we said, "Yes." They said, "You must stop. You are not licensed to webcast. You're only licensed to broadcast." So I said, "Aye, aye, sir, we're going to do that." But guess what, ladies and gentlemen, I'm getting sick of that. I don't like big companies telling me what I may and may not do. And it's true that they own they own the property, just like a landlord has the right to tell a tenant that they want to move back into their property or something, or that they can't use it, or things have to change. But that has told me. It has driven the message home loud and clear to MZ that as time goes on, KSCO must become more and more and more of an original content producer and distributor. And we've been doing it for years with the Dead Doctors Don't Lie program quite successfully. And we're going to be doing it more with some more innovative programming. What is that sound that I hear? Is that Trucker Tom's engine?
That might be my engine. I'm
okay.
Right now I'm going down a big mountain grade, and I've got my engine brake running.
Oh, okay. Okay, great. Well, if I could, you know, I love you, Trucker Tom. If I could put you on hold here, I would, and then talk to you by taking you off hold. But if you just keep talking or breathing or something, then we won't hear that sound.
Okay.
But whatever. Anyhow. Trucker Tom does a pretty much daily podcast, am I right?
Yeah, I'm doing a pretty much daily podcast.
And every once in a while you do a video cast, a video cast as well.
Yeah, I've been experimenting with that. That's a lot of fun.
Right. And so lately I have not only been downloading your program and one or two other programs that I find fascinating and learn a lot from, but I've been loading them into my iPod and going out and going on a walk instead of listening to the same old music that I like, you know, that makes me feel good. It doesn't do anything for my brain. It doesn't expand my knowledge base. For the first time in my life, or not in my life, but in the first time in probably 20 years, I'm excited about learning something. It's almost like I'm going to a real exciting university when I'm out listening to my iPod, and the stuff that I'm listening to on the iPod is teaching me a lot. It's expanding my brain, which Lord knows needs some expansion. It's been contracting for a couple of decades. I haven't learned anything new. There hasn't been all that much to be excited about. Anyhow, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to get, well, I hope I'm getting you excited, because what we have to look forward to now with technology is just a whole new way of being enriched, if you will. Okay? You can be entertained. You can learn. There's just no limit to what you can do whenever and wherever you want. And that's why I'm really, really excited. Now, other interesting things happen. As a result of listening to Trucker Tom's podcast and checking out his website, which is truckerphoto.com, I have become reacquainted with a fellow I went to school with 40 years ago, and his name is Bill Saran. Hopefully he's listening. He might call in. He called in a couple, you know, 2 or 3 weeks ago. And yeah, because he listens to Trucker Tom's podcast too, and there's a little thing called Frapper. If you click there, you can see like a little pushpin map of where everybody is who listens, who has checked in, who has decided to let people know. So I clicked in the area around Santa Cruz, and lo and behold, a guy named Bill Saran. I know that name. It's really wild. So another interesting thing happened this week. I sent Trucker Tom one of Kay's commentaries. What was it, a couple of weeks ago? The one about the liberals self-destructing? I mean, really big time. Was that the one?
Right. Yeah.
Okay, and you put that into one of your podcasts.
Right.
That particular day. And I guess it caused, you know, at least one of your podcast listeners, who is another trucker, to melt down and get get really upset. And I got a call from Bill Saran, the Santa Cruz trucker type, and the guy I went to school with, and said, "Hey, they're trashing you and your mother on a podcast." So I listened to it. You know, it's one of these ego things, and that's why ego is the subject of ego. If I ever write a book, it's going to be on the power of ego and how ego drives people. I mean, ego is much more important than money or health or whatever to most people, and I think it's just bizarre. I'm no different. I mean, this is an ego-driven show. It's a little ego show today, but it's a fun ego show. So when I learned about that, I wanted to find out what people were saying about me and my dear, sweet, harmless mother. So I looked up on the internet. I got some keywords here, and I found the actual podcast. I'm going to play a little piece of it. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Here, let's make sure I have it connected properly here. Okay.
That a lot of the other podcasters are talking about Trucker Tom's, and one of the guests that he had on, you might say, one of the
can you hear that
voice
okay?
messages he had on, really shocked me, and I think that was the intention, and I had no idea who this Case Zwerzel, or sounded like Case Zwerzel or something. I think I've even got the name wrong. Zwerzel, I guess. Case Zwerzel. And I had no idea who she was. But I thought, wow, here's a woman with some venom. I guess I'm just not used to being around people like that and talking with people like that. It blows me away to hear such hateful words, especially coming from a woman. Then I do a little bit of research, and I discover that she's the mother of the gentleman, I think Michael is his name, that heads up K Oh, I'll get the call letters wrong. KSCO or KCSO in the Santa Cruz area. Like I said, I had no idea who she was, so I did some searching and kind of read up on her, and I realize now that she's been a very vocal part of the station and quite a controversial figure in her area, being that's quite a liberal area of the country. Apparently there's enough sponsorship that they keep it going, so they're revitalizing the conservative, the right-wing conservatives.
That's true. On the conservative station, there's plenty of sponsorship. On the liberal station, there's none.
Sorry, I tried to phrase this without foul language coming out, but I just...
Okay, I don't think we need to hear. I think we get the really idea here. So, yeah, Trucker Tom, say something so we don't hear that sound.
Okay.
Good, much better.
Yeah. That's the first time I've actually heard that snippet. Wow. I used to listen to that guy's podcast, I got bored with it because I wasn't getting any substance out of it. I wasn't really learning anything.
Yeah, and I don't want to publicly ridicule somebody, but there was nothing there, and if I would have let it go on for another 5 or 6 minutes, there's nothing there. I mean, there was nothing specific.
The thing that struck me about that as he was talking, there's no people like that, and that guy is pretty angry. I can hear a lot of anger in his voice. It's almost like he's about to burst into tears sometimes. People like that see someone that's reasonable, someone that doesn't have the anger. I'm beginning to believe that they actually see that as anger and venom. It's like they're looking at the world backwards. They see someone that's reasonable and calm as actually being angry and full of venom. And it's hard to relate. It's hard for me to understand because I don't have that level of anger, that level of emotionalism. But intellectually, I can understand that has to be, they're seeing us the way we see them. But they see the world backwards.
Yeah.
And it's really a fascinating thing.
Yeah, it really is. And so, it's just, I want to put it out there. I mean, this is a perfect time for some, I don't even think Billy, who disagrees with everything that Kay says, or pretty much everything, would say that she's venomous. I mean, that's crazy. Is there anybody out there who thinks that any of Kay's commentaries are venomous? Come on, give us a call, 479-1080 or 477-1340, particularly if you believe that, and we'll be respectful. We'll let you have your say. Okay, so let's Phil, can we bring on Jim in Capitola, please? He's been waiting for quite a while. Yeah. Hi, Jim. Welcome to KSCO on the Saturday special with MZ Trucker Tom and Phil at the controls. How you doing?
And the whole gang.
Yeah.
Pretty good, except I've got that same cough that's going around with everybody here in town, I guess.
The what?
That cough that...
We better get off the phone. I don't want to catch it, and I certainly don't want to expose our audience to it.
Anyway.
I'm only kidding. Okay.
Yeah, regarding Billy Darkness. Now, he's very angry about... anything
You'd
that
be
has
nice.
To do with intelligent design, because he's angry about anything that's against his atheistic evolution theory. Now, if you follow evolution theory open-mindedly, say you could assume that might have been a way that we came about. That sounds like a plausible reason. In fact, this intelligent creator, going by whatever name you wish to choose, might have chosen that route to do it. Maybe he tried these different designs, and, oh, let's try this one. Oh, I don't like the way that one turned out. Let's try this one turned out really good. I like this one. Now, the problem with the evolution theory is that just the pure odds against anything evolving the way Billy would like to believe it does are extremely astronomical. We're talking about a possibility, but highly improbability. Is this possible it could have happened? Yeah, I believe it could have. What are the probabilities? Extremely low, because you'd have to believe that the horses used to be butterflies, the eagles used to be banana slugs. And we used to swim in the ocean as amoebas and finally crawled out, grew legs, and became who we are. But there's something behind all of this that's moving this. You see, as a Christian nation, a Christian Judeo-Christian nation, where we believe in a God, a supreme being, then we as people have certain rights and certain privileges. However, if instead the government gives us all of our rights and gives us all of our privileges, then we don't have any of these, quote, God-given rights
right.
and privileges.
Yep.
That allows us to be the same as the animals, the same as the bugs, the same as the rocks and twigs. And if you're the same as a rock or a twig, then we can just eliminate you any way we want to, and it's okay. I mean, who would call the police if you ran out into your yard and crushed several rocks laying in your driveway? Hey, what's he doing? Well, he's nothing wrong. He's just crushing rocks. Well, if you're the same as a rock, then you could be crushed too. And I don't think Billy appreciates the problem you get into if you're willing to equate yourself with rocks and twigs and insects, because you'll be treated like rocks and twigs and insects, and I don't think I like that.
Okay.
Now, you know, as a younger man in high school and in the service... And
hey, wait just a second. Let me interrupt you, Jim. Phil, would you do me a favor? If you put Tom, line 8, on hold, then we can get rid of that extraneous noise, and Tom will still be able to hear. Great. Thank you. He'll still be able to hear what Jim is saying, and then, you know, we can bring Tom back on. And when he talks, for some reason, the engine noise goes away. So, whatever. Go ahead, Jim.
Okay. And like most young people, you go along thinking, gee, I wonder where I came from. I wonder why we're here. I wonder what my goal in life is supposed to be. I mean, where are we going with all this? And most people ponder that on a regular basis. In college, you sit around and discuss it because somebody surely has the answer. Now, I went to every church I could find. Every religion I could find, trying to find someone that had the truth, the real 100% guaranteed truth. Well, I couldn't find anybody that could guarantee everything to me. They all had great ideas. Some of them were more strict than others, and they approached it from different points.
Well, let me ask you the question that Billy asked me, okay?
Okay.
Do you think a discussion of intelligent design belongs in a science class?
Definitely.
Okay.
Just the two words, intelligent and design. But again, see if
do you agree with what he said that what is now called the euphemism in he didn't say that word, but intelligent design is today's word for yesterday's creationism?
Correct. Correct. They were
so that part's correct.
Oh yes.
So creationism should if you go by the terms of yesterday, the creationism should be discussed in science classes as well.
I think it should be, because let's look at his evolution theory. Now, if thousands and thousands and thousands of people all evolved into who we are now, why is it we have never found one single missing link?
I'll
be
honest
with
you.
We can find fish, we can find saber-toothed tigers, we find all kinds of things, but there is not one single human changeover from ape or whatever he wants to believe he came from, to humans. There's nothing, not one.
I'm sure you're making the man in, I forgot his name, in the Pinnacles, who was listening on a cell phone, the one with the dog, I'm sure you're making him very happy because you are addressing what he asked. You
know? And the problem is that there are lots of samples of everything that was on this planet going back to day one. We can find all these old skeletons all over the place, but not one single crossover human anywhere. I find that very strange. There should be. If we all came from there, surely there's some of us frozen in the ground someplace, nothing but the bones and the outline left, but there's nothing. There's never been anything. And the problem has been that in the past, when Darwin came up with his theory, people began looking for the missing link. And every time they'd come up with, quote, a missing link, it was found to be a fraud. I mean, somebody wanted to show that we were originally little salamanders, and so they took little salamander creatures, and they cut the legs off, the extra legs.
Yeah.
So as they could show that this is what, these are some of the original human changeover things. Well,
we have an email from Cyril. It says, MZ, are you saying that the intelligent designer, in quotes, also created cancer, AIDS, Parkinson's, MS, and other painful ways for people to die?
I think he allowed it to happen.
Uh-huh.
Cyril, I'll go check out a couple of movies that Almighty Bruce, which is very, very cute. because the black god who presents himself says, listen, I'm going to give you all my powers except for one thing. You can't interfere with free will. You can't. It's just that what's going to happen is going to happen, and you take your chance with the roll of the dice. But you cannot interfere with free will. And I thought about that, and I thought, you know, this is very interesting, because if we didn't have free will, then we'd be nothing more than puppets. We wouldn't be human creatures. We'd be puppets, robots. If every time we started to go one way, God would step in and say, ah, can't do that. I'm not going to let you.
Uh-huh.
We wouldn't be the free people that we are. So we are allowed to become very nice, very bad, very angry, very happy. It's a game of chance. And as far as these diseases and things out there, that comes with the ticket.
Right.
You pay for the ride, and this is what came with it.
Jim, thanks very much for your call. We got quite a number of other callers here.
Thank you, Michael.
Appreciate your call to the Saturday special at 479-1080 or 477-1340. It's MZ on your favorite radio station, KSCO. AM 1080, we're going to be on the air right up until noontime with a Saturday special. We got 6 or 8 minutes left in this hour. Before we go to Bill Saran, Harold and Aptos, or Don and Soquel should be next because he's been waiting a long time. Let's take a commercial break. Go ahead and kill the promos, Phil, please, if you would. And we'll be back in just a few minutes. Stay with us.
My name is Kathy, and I met my husband, Michael, at eHarmony.com.
My name is Gina, and I met my husband, Tom, through eHarmony.com.
My name's Jennifer, and I met my husband, Jack, on eHarmony.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Neil Clark Warren, founder of eHarmony.com. These are just a few of the hundreds of eHarmony marriages. Dating services give you a picture in a paragraph. We go a lot deeper. We start with a personality profile that features 29 dimensions of compatibility, crucial to a long-term relationship. And if you go to eHarmony.com right now, we'll give you this $40 profile free. And then we'll find you a soulmate based on compatibility in the most important areas of life. Visit eHarmony.com today. Get your free personality profile.
My name is Becky, and I met my husband, Tom, on eHarmony.com.
A lot of happy guys out there tonight, thanks to eHarmony.com.
The images of devastation from Hurricane Katrina flicker on the TV. The grief and sadness impossible to turn away from. This is Morgan Freeman, and I, like all of you, have been shocked and humbled by the damage and heartbreak in the Gulf Coast area. But shock isn't enough today. We must reach out, all of us, and now. We need business leaders to dig deep. It is the only way we can turn the corner on this disaster and change the momentum towards healing and recovery. Pulling together, this country has done amazing things. I urge you to give to the American Red Cross today. The American Red Cross is in action throughout the area, and they need your support to keep the aid coming. Your financial donation to the Disaster Relief Fund allows the Red Cross to get food, shelter, counseling, and other assistance to where it is most needed. Your donation provides hope, and hope is more powerful than a hurricane. Help victims of Hurricane Katrina and thousands of other disasters across the country each year. Call 1-800-HELP-NOW or visit redcross.org.
Brought to you by the American Red Cross, the Ad Council, and this station.
Hi, this is Don Fredrickson from GotNet. GotNet specializes in business services. Whether you need a T1 or T3 or just a place to host your website, GotNet has a solution to fit your needs. GotNet offers server co-location and custom website development. We have e-commerce servers, streaming audio and video servers, and Cold Fusion and database servers available to handle your hosting needs. GotNet understands that businesses rely on the Internet, and we work hard to assure fast, reliable service. Call GotNet today at 460-2000. Food, shelter, clothing, net. GotNet.
55 minutes past 10 o'clock. Now back to the Saturday special with Michael Zwirling.
Thank you, Phil. I think I've got a good, reliable connection, I hope.
Oh,
at least for a second to the phone system here. So let's see if it'll hold out for the rest of the program. We'll see. Welcome back to the KSCO Saturday Special. It's MZ. It's an open mic type program. We're talking about all kinds of things. We have a somewhat spirited discussion on intelligent design, sparked by my mom's most recent commentary. And we also have a special guest, Trucker Tom, who is listening on the cell phone as he drives his 18-wheeler big rig across Wyoming, headed in this direction, actually. And it's just an amazing age we live in here, I got to say. So anyhow, let's go back to the phone lines here and talk to our next caller. That would be Don in Soquel. Welcome to the Saturday special, Don. Thanks for waiting.
Thank you. Two things. One, the man was totally off about your mother.
I know that.
She's very calm, and her latest...
I think what he said, she didn't say she was excited, I don't think. He said that she was venomous.
Right.
And
vitriolific.
Yeah.
That goes along with it.
God.
And she is not. I think she's right on this issue of intelligent design. I totally agree with you, because they keep talking about the Darwin theory. And anytime you talk about a theory, you've never proved it.
Right.
All you've done is say, I think this is what it is. Now, as far as intelligent design, is creationism. If you've ever studied anything in science, and also if you've ever taken human anatomy where you worked on a cadaver, it is very difficult to even think that happened by chance. To see the muscles and the blood vessels and the nerves and how they're all put together and how the human body functions, especially when you see a birth of a baby, to see the movement and all that in a little tiny human being. That didn't happen by chance. The fact you can see with your eyes, that is so complex, they still don't know how the eye works.
Yeah.
They know what the components are. And people like Billy Sunshine, I feel sorry for him. Because he is so angry and so vitriolific about intelligent design, he's not even willing to at least look at it. He just says, no, it couldn't happen. That's not what happened. Also, you have to have a replication for something to be proven. And in the Darwin theory, they have not been able to replicate one single thing.
Yeah.
But in the human being... through birth, we can replicate exactly. And we haven't seen, like the man earlier said, the missing link. We haven't seen anything change in how many thousands of years. Have we seen a dog become a horse?
I haven't.
No, nobody has. No. Nobody has seen that next step. It's all a theory.
Uh-huh.
You have to see something.
Right.
To actually believe it. Well, that's all I have to say.
Well, okay, and I'm happy you said it. I'm a little concerned that whenever we ask for opposing points of view on the conservative radio station, we get a phone call from Billy. I mean, he's a good caller and everything, but why don't we get calls from other people? It's not as if we prevent them from speaking. It's not as if we're rude or ridicule them. I just don't understand it. I don't understand it. I actually sent an email to this trucker person who said that Kay is venomous, inviting him to come on the program here, and gave the phone numbers and so forth. Now, it was only an hour and a half or so ago, so chances are he didn't even receive the email. But I wonder if he would even call. Why can't people have a discussion, a calm discussion, from opposing or different points of view?
Because I found most atheists get so upset because you...
Okay, you got to hold that. I'm sorry, it's 11 o'clock on KSCO Santa Cruz. Here's the news.
I'm Chris Bowen.
Music, wonderful music on KSCO.
Minutes past 11 o'clock. You're listening to AM 1080 KSCO Santa Cruz, the Saturday special with Michael Zwirling. A look at your weather outlook for today. Mostly cloudy with highs in the 50s to lower 60s and west winds 5 to 15 miles per hour. Tonight's going to be cloudy as well with lows in the 40s to lower 50s and west winds up to 10 miles per hour. Partly cloudy on Sunday and looking like it's going to be partly cloudy throughout the rest of the week. On the Monterey Bay today, small craft advisory in effect for hazardous seas and will remain in effect through tomorrow evening. We have west winds at 5 to 10 knots, wind waves at 1 to 2 feet, and northwest swells 6 to 10 feet every 13 seconds with a slight chance of rain. Central Coast traffic conditions. We have a traffic hazard northbound Highway 1 just south of Reservation Road in Monterey. Looks like a gate lying in the number 1 lane. It is time to return to the Saturday special with MZ here on KSCO.
Hey, Phil.
Yes?
You do a great job. Thanks.
Thank you.
Okay. Tell me if the sound is coming. Am I overdriving? Is it just right? How are the levels?
It is just right.
It is just right? Okay, yes. Thank you. Here, so let's start the show, the second hour officially here.
Oh, hello, darling. I hate to hang up on you, but I'm sorry, baby, but I have to go. It's time for that wonderful record show. I'd love to visit, but you'll have to call back. KSCO has the inside track.
Okay, welcome to the second hour of the Saturday special. Talking about what used to be called creationism, now called intelligent design. We're talking about all kinds of things.
I'm sorry, baby, but I really gotta go to KSCO Radio. Bye.
And I didn't mean to cut Don from Soquel off. Oh, stop it already. Jeez, this thing keeps playing. It's supposed to stop between the damn things. Don and Soquel, I thought, wanted to finish his point here, but he just dropped off just a second ago, so I guess we won't be able to do that. I'm just going to welcome everybody officially to hour number 2 of the Saturday special. It's 7 minutes past 11 on your favorite radio station, AM 1080 KSCO, Santa Cruz, Salinas, Monterey, San Jose, and the world. We have a special guest on the line with us. He's on hold because he's traveling across country now on a big rig that's pretty noisy here. So we'll bring Trucker Tom back on. In fact, I have an email here that someone has sent regarding Trucker Tom here. And it's from information to MZ, subject Trucker Tom. Okay, and then it gives a link to his website, which is www.truckerphoto.com/tattoos.hdm. And the email says, Tom wants a date with your daughter or younger sister. Go to the above link to view Mr. Wiles' credentials. What planet is this guy from? With a bunch of question marks. All right. Well, I guess that's a fair question. But why are there people out there who throw the rock and hide the hand? Why don't they say who they are instead of information? You know, why doesn't someone have the guts to just say who they are? I'm sure this person is somehow disturbed by the fact that Trucker Tom has a lot of tattoos on his body. Big deal. So, but that's what bothers me. Anyhow, let me switch to the right screen here so that I can.
We seem to have just lost Trucker Tom.
Uh oh.
And he's calling back.
Oh, okay, good. Yeah. All right. So I will see if I can get back here. If is it ringing again here? I can bring him on here. I think
that's Tom.
Okay. Yeah, Tom, did you hear that?
I heard most of it. I actually lost the cell signal and I dialed back in immediately, but I think I got the gist of it.
Yeah, I saw the pictures on the website, and I have met you, and yeah, you got a lot of tattoos, but so what?
Well, people do that. They will, let's just, jump right to the chase. They do that with Rush Limbaugh all the time. They call him fat.
He hasn't been fat for years. That's what's really funny.
Come up with all kinds of names because they don't have any substance. They can't argue with what I'm saying.
Yeah, but no. It's that whole throw the rock and hide the hand mentality that bothers me. Why doesn't the guy have the guts to just give his name and call in, and engage in a conversation? Probably because he or she feels that they sound like a fool on the radio, I guess.
Well,
but I guess they
have to ask the question they're asking. More liberals or opposed viewpoints listen that way.
Shucks, Tom, you're in a lousy cell area now because you're cutting in and out, unfortunately.
Okay, it's just getting a little bit better. I'm almost at the top of the hill to get better.
Okay. Well, let me put you on hold for just a sec here, and then we'll come back. Hopefully we won't lose the connection here, but I want to bring Bill Saran on, who's been waiting for quite a while. Another trucker, and a local trucker, and a guy that I knew from school years ago. Hey, Bill, you're on.
Good morning, Michael. Isn't it beautiful?
How you doing?
Good. And I'm enjoying the stirring of the pot here and learning a lot, and as always, fascinated and awed by when I emailed you and you phoned me and emailed me back last night about your mom's being venomous, which implies, of course, being a snake. The candor and jovility that you showed and the great dignity that you approached it with, it shows that you're healthy and it's leading to a great show.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. But I'm long past the, well, he said what about,
yeah.
way past that. I don't know if the old me would have reacted that way. Probably. We'll see. But anyhow, yeah, what's so amazing is that it's the roundabout way that all this happens. I mean, just through the amazingness of technology.
It just, isn't it wonderful?
Yeah. So anyhow, so what else is new? What's happening?
Oh, not much. I'm looking into helping a guy get his trucking business started and getting all the paperwork done.
Bill, it's an amazing culture out there of truckers, and I'm seeing that a lot of them sort of want to take advantage of technology to give themselves a voice.
Yes.
You know?
And all of this, you know, the intelligent design and everything else is about having a voice. It's about being heard.
Yeah.
And that's where it all comes from, the acerbic attitude, the Neanderthal thinking, everything comes from a point of fear and shame, and it certainly did for me for many years. That anger and all that comes from shame.
Really? You had some of that?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. What? I still slip back into it, but thank God I can find my balance at times and to center myself.
Thank who?
I better
be careful what you say around Santa Cruz, you know.
Yeah. I believe in a higher power, and I believe in respecting everybody else's opinion to have a higher power.
Yeah.
But I remember most of all when I was first heard a couple of years ago. I had struggled all my life coming from where I did to be heard, and somebody finally listened to me without judgment, criticism, or advice, and it blew me away. It just, I couldn't believe it. I was finally heard. But people like yourself and others on this show who have grown up in homes that were not chaotic and had great parents don't have that. That you can approach these discussions and everything without so much, without it pushing your buttons. And that's what's the blessing for me to be able to learn that finally, even late in life. That I can listen. I know how to listen now, and I know that I can be heard. I don't have to scream.
Yeah, there's nothing more valuable than peace of mind, which is part of health. The most valuable thing that a person can have, I think.
Oh, it's wonderful. It's changed my life, and all my life because I couldn't be heard. I wanted to find things, ways to communicate. I wanted to be a writer. I wanted to be a poet. I wanted to be this, that.
And now you are.
And now I are.
Yeah. So give out your blog site, okay?
My blog site is dumbtrucker.blogspot.com. And I have a lot of links in there. You can read a lot of Indian poetry. I'm experimenting with audio posting and podcasting and just a whole lot of fun stuff. You can add yourself to my map, my Frapper map, and that's how you found me, was through Tom's.
Yeah. I actually haven't added myself to any Frapper. I should do that, huh? I just haven't gotten around to
Absolutely,
it.
Absolutely, yeah. It's a blast.
Great. Okay, well, thanks for the call, and thanks for the heads up yesterday.
Absolutely. Say hello to Tom for me. I enjoy his
podcast. Okay, yeah. He can't hear us now. He must be in a pit or at the bottom of a ravine or something like that because he's not even on hold, but I will certainly do that if and when he calls back during the program.
Okay. Thank you for the opportunity, Michael.
Thank you, Bill. Take care. It's 11:15 on AM 1080 KSCO. It's MZ, and we have open lines at 479-1080 and 477-1340. We encourage you to call. I'd like to talk to you. It doesn't have to be on this particular subject. It's an open mic program, and take advantage of it, ladies and gentlemen, because even podcasting can't do this, because there's no live real time in podcasting, and I don't know how they're going to change that, but that's the one thing that live talk radio will always have on podcasting. Even though podcasting is going to undergo explosive growth, in my opinion, in the next few years. I think that the second half of this decade is going to be have more economic expansion as a result of portable media and a whole new way of engaging in news reception, if you will, and entertainment and learning and education. I think it's going to rival the second half of the 90s decade, you know, with the dot-com explosion, economic explosion. I really believe that. Maybe I'm wrong, but I don't think so. Next caller is going to be Thad in Santa Cruz. Hey, can this be? There aren't many Thads out there. Is this the Thad I know from years ago?
Yes, it certainly is.
Holy
Mike,
Christmas,
how's it going?
Thad, it's great to hear from you. Wow.
Yeah, frequent listener, but I don't usually call in that much because I'm usually running into a store or something. But
yeah, so
your shows always hold me in the car. I get kind of frustrated because I got to run into the store to grab something, but I don't want to miss anything. So.
Well, speaking of missing, we miss you because you worked at the station. You know what, 12, 13, 14, even 15 years ago.
Yeah, and it's there's a lot of fond memories there.
That's great.
But I wanted to say about Billy, you know, well, what's the big god in evolution? It's time. I mean, according to evolution, you throw enough time at anything, and anything magical can happen. You tack on 10,000 years, 500,000 years, and you've got people springing up out of nothing, and planets, everything happening. Evolution is so funny because they break down when you apply the same rules to them that they're trying to apply to you if you believe in creation.
Uh-huh.
In that, you know, irreducible complexity is the idea that nothing can really, it's like you would not, if you had all the parts of a car together, they're meaningless unless they're all together and functioning. Evolution says that you're not going to evolve something that is not a functioning organ right off the bat, or you're going to lose something that you're not necessarily using.
Right.
Well, even a trilobite has got a very complex eye, not as complex as we have, but, you know, 1,000 times more complex than what we can make.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, a pupil without an iris or, you know, without a retina, without a optic nerve is a useless organ. So you have to, you know, in order for an eye to work, everything's got to be there. And so, like, it really goes against the whole evolution thing. And I just, it's funny because, you know, Billy's sitting there talking about science this and science that. Well, last time I heard it was the theory of evolution. It wasn't the science of evolution. It was the theory of evolution.
Yeah.
What the people that don't believe in creationism, it's their theory. Can you prove it? Now, and he doesn't mention there really are two types of evolution. There's macroevolution and there's microevolution. Microevolution can be, you know, you can do that with selective breeding, where you get butterflies with different colored wings to suit their environment. That only makes sense. But macroevolution, where like, you know, dogs or dogs and horses coming from the same ancestor and stuff like that. Come on, Billy, show me the evidence. Or, you know, the theory. You know, he keeps talking about science and facts. Facts don't change.
Well, listen, Thad, I'm getting excited because I put out the call a little while ago. I was frustrated because too many we have our token progressive, you know, liberal people who have, you know, who like to call the radio station, but not nearly enough of them to have a good spirited discussion. And I'm extremely excited now because I'm squinting my eyes and I'm seeing on our computer screen that Curtis Cross is calling in here. He's
okay.
On hold. And I haven't mentioned his name, but that is the trucker birth guy who thinks K is venomous. So I can't wait to get him on.
Okay,
so,
two last things.
Yeah.
If the theory of evolution is so factually based, why does it always change? in terms of all they do is add more time into something when something doesn't work out for them.
Now who can argue with that?
And
I can't.
Facts don't change. Theories do.
Okay.
And then this is also my new baby Rosemary's first time listening, so she's hanging out here.
You've got a new baby.
Yes.
Cool. All right. So how many others do you have?
Just this one.
Well, yeah, that's great. Well,
she's
yeah.
enough of a handful.
Yeah, congrats, Dad, and we're so happy that you called in. It's great to hear from you.
My pleasure.
Okay, you have a good one.
You too, man.
Don't be a stranger, okay? Let's make it a lot fewer than a dozen years or so, okay?
Yeah, I know. One of these times I'll stop in.
Great, that'd be wonderful. Thank you.
Take care.
Okay. Hey, Curtis.
Yes.
Welcome to the KSCO Saturday Special with MZ. Where in the world are you?
Well, thank you. I am actually parked in Memphis, Tennessee right now.
Ah.
At a Flying J truck stop.
Okay. So you got the email, obviously, right?
Yeah, I was taking a nap, and I just happened to get up and take a look at the email and thought it come through, huh?
Oh, that's good. That's great. Yeah, because I only sent it about like a half hour before the show started. I said, well, I doubt that he'll get it, but what the heck, might as well give it a whirl. So
yeah.
you listen to Trucker Tom's podcast, right?
Oh, yeah.
And that's where you heard you heard him play one of my mom's recent commentaries about liberal self-destruction, I think it was, right?
Well, I guess that may have been the gist of it, sure.
Yeah. And then apparently you got on the internet and sort of checked out, did a Google search or something? And
yeah, I did a couple of searches because I had no idea who she was.
Uh-huh.
I had listened to actually his podcast where he played your when he called in and talked with you.
Uh-huh.
But I didn't make the connection at all. I had no idea. So I did a little search and discovered right near 9/11 you had some major changes in programming. Basically,
That's right.
From the liberal and conservative to completely liberal, or am I?
Well, no, not really. Yeah, I'll back up a little bit because this is sort of an interesting story. I've always been a person who wants to encourage political discussion from all points of view, and for people to, I like to be an instigator and I like to stir the pot, you know, and I like to create good radio. But if people are just going to be yelling and screaming at each other, nobody really gets much out of that, you know. So I think you got to have good radio that's respectful good radio. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So I have always encouraged people from all points of view to call the both radio stations. It's just two radio stations that we have here. It's a 10,000-watt AM station at AM 1080. That's KSCO. And a 1,000-watt station called KOMY at AM 1340. The 10,000-watt station gets out over a third of California in the daytime. It's got a really strong signal. And the 1,000-watt station has a pretty good reach of its own. It's, but it's essentially a Monterey Bay station. So, you know, we cover a good 500,000 population with KOMY. And up until 2001, both stations pretty much carried talk radio, which you will agree, I'm sure, even to this day, tends to skew conservative, right? We got Air America now.
From what I understand, right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So being a trucker, I'm sure that, you know, you travel a lot, you must listen to talk radio a lot, and, you know, it probably...
Actually, to be honest, I don't. I've actually, I'll be very frank and honest, I actually haven't really listened too much to political talk.
Maybe you're sort of discovering it by accident through listening to podcasts then, huh? Because
right.
It's pretty difficult to keep politics from creeping into a discussion, you know.
Oh yeah, and yeah. I mean you get that on the TV, but I generally, I mean every once in a while I try to keep up with news.
Yeah.
But I'll be honest, I cannot stand listening to the Fox News Network. I basically go to CNN, and I realize a lot of infamy, so maybe my point of view is more skewed toward what I understand everyone else thinks is the liberal point of view. And,
well, I would think that from your reaction to my mom's commentary, anyhow, because, you know, you. But I would like to ask you, not to put you on the spot, but because I did listen to your podcast last night where you were sort of incredulous, I guess is the best way to say it. You'd never really heard of anybody with such venom, especially a woman and especially an older woman.
There you go.
Okay.
There you go.
But that's about all I got out of it. I listened to about, and you talked about it for about 5 minutes, but I wish, the reason I invited you on is to ask you to be a little more specific, because before you got on, I played a little bit of your podcast on the station here where you said that. And some callers, of course, you would think that a lot of the people who are regular KSCO listeners, listen because they like what they hear. And of course, right. We've already gotten at least one phone call who says that you're all wet, and that she's not venomous.
Okay.
And of course, I certainly feel that way. But I wanted to give you a chance to say, to tell us a little bit more. Why do you think that what you heard came from a venomous person? It sounded pretty matter of fact to me. I think you can argue with maybe what she said, or you can try to argue, but it doesn't sound venomous or mean.
Well, what I heard basically was a lot of name calling. I mean, likening people with a differing point of view to terrorists, to somebody
what?
Who sneaks up and attacks.
I didn't hear that. Did I miss something? Maybe because she's my mom. I don't think I'm blind to or deaf to certain things. Phil, are you there?
I am.
Phil, can you pull that out of the other computer? Can you pull that last, not the one that I played, obviously, but the one before that? Is that still there?
I'm looking. I have a suspicion that they take out the old ones and put in the new ones.
Dang.
I'll look for it for you.
Okay. Well, you know what? I'm going to look for it, too. I might have it in my computer here. But
yeah, if I actually could have, I meant to refresh my memory on it. And,
well, it sure got your goat, Curtis. It really did, and so. But I don't remember. My mom wouldn't call liberals terrorists. That's crazy. But if you think that's what you heard, is that it, basically? Or?
Basically, along those lines, it seemed like anyone who, I honestly can't remember. I should have listened to this before you called, but like you say, with so little time to try to refresh my memory, I should have actually replayed it and listened to it. But it essentially, basically said liberals are the enemy of our country. I mean, it's like, forget the terrorists. She made one point about troops. They want to put, Ray Merthel, and I'm not that keen on names, but the senator that wanted to call all our troops home and immediately called for a quick withdrawal. And she was saying how and I don't want to put words in her mouth, but the way she was saying it was basically he was all wet and just really crazy for wanting to have our troops home. And I guess I took out of that is like, well, don't we want our troops home? I don't care if I don't have a son, but if I had a son and he volunteered to go to serve our country, sure, he's got a duty to do so. But don't I want him to come home? You betcha I do.
Uh-huh.
And that was kind of the meaning I took away from it. The way she was addressing it was like we were all crazy for wanting our troops to come home.
Well, I have that commentary for you.
Oh, you have it?
Yes.
Oh, great. Okay,
great.
Let's play it. What the heck? We're
all
talking
right.
about it. Let's do it.
The following is a KSCO commentary. Here is Kay's Whirling.
The Democrats are really self-destructing, and many constituents are losing confidence in their judgment. George Murtha wants the troops to leave Iraq at once. Nancy Pelosi agrees with him, and Howard Dean says, we can't win the war in Iraq. Liberals protect the rights of criminals, but they ignore the rights of victims. Now they believe that our military is cruel to captured terrorists. Islamic terrorists slice off the heads of their captive victims. Where's the outrage about that? Congress just crafted into law gentle parameters for our troops to abide by while interrogating the captive enemy. This is crazy. It's also demeaning and insulting to our troops. Unlike the fanatic insurgents, our troops are not barbarians. They are civilized, trained soldiers who love our country. They must have the freedom to use their judgment in fighting this war while confronted every day with the new phenomenon of the suicide bomber. There is no level playing field, so they must not be forced to succumb to the boundaries of the politically correct. The elimination of terror in interrogation sounds noble, but it doesn't work unless both sides agree. The enemy is laughing at us about Abu Ghraib as a result of the foolish and reckless judgment of a few soldiers. The American and European media have had a field day dissecting this unfortunate episode. And they kept it alive for months, much to the detriment of the morale of our troops. It should not have happened. What was done to the captive detainees was shameful. But the embarrassment endured by those detainees pales against what the terrorists do to our captive soldiers. Like slice off heads. Again, where is the outrage? Why are we so concerned about how the world, especially the Europeans, view us? These countries always dislike us, and now they judge and set moral standards for our behavior and that of our military, while at the same time they decline to get involved. This is war. It's ludicrous for us to be obsessed with not offending countries like France, Germany, and Russia, who all joined forces with the scoundrels Saddam Hussein and Kofi Annan to steal billions of dollars earmarked for the hungry of the world in the oil for food scandal. Where is the outrage there? Now the Congress is involved in the execution of the war. What a bummer that is. By making laws to not use terror to obtain valuable knowledge from the enemy, knowledge which could and does save many lives and could possibly bring an end to the combat sooner, all this ties the hands of our military leaders, and that's idiotic. And it demeans our generals. To the Democrats who are shamelessly politicizing this war by their endless negativity, I say, back off. Let the troops do their job. Stop with the gloom and doom which continue to delight and energize the enemy. And to those who stoop to call our president a liar and a fool and other derogatory names, I say, you will never regain political majority and power with those tactics. And that's why I think you are self-destructing. When you demean the presidency, you demean yourselves and you demean our country. Shape up. Get a grip. For KSCO and KOMY, this is Kay Swirling.
Okay. Now did that didn't, I didn't hear any venom in there, and I didn't hear any talking about any calling liberals terrorists. Where'd you get that?
A lot of what, and I didn't hear until the very last. It finally got in really, really clear. But what I did hear, I actually do concede a bit to your point. I may have overreacted a little bit. In fact, maybe a lot. But what I heard a lot of right there was this: first of all, how does she know if it's helping or hurting the terrorists?
Well, it stands to reason.
Let me finish okay. this. Just finish my thought. Just a second. If whatever we're doing hasn't stopped them from trying to attack us, although they haven't attacked us since 9/11 directly.
Yes.
Now,
you said that I didn't, but it's true.
Right. Okay. But we should change completely our moral standing and give power over to anyone. Fine, let's be optimistic and say that Bush and the Bush administration are completely good and of noble nature. If we don't question what they're doing, I pose that's unpatriotic.
Okay.
because as Americans, we need to question our governing
Does it not make sense to you, Curtis, that if we're going to micromanage the country and put Bush and Rumsfeld, who may be the greatest president we've ever had, maybe the worst, you know, who knows? But don't you agree that if we're going to subject these people to have to answer to us for everything, and particularly to publish, to put out an exit strategy publicly, I mean, does that make any sense at all? I mean, you can't see that that is beneficial to the enemy? I can see that, and I'm not very smart.
I don't really care. Well, I do care about an exit strategy. I'd like to know that we're trying to go up. After all, at one point, George Bush did say the war was over. That's a fact, and it apparently isn't, and it continues on. And the truth of the matter is, terrorism, a war on terrorism, can never be over because terrorists are, by nature, secretive.
Yeah. Yeah, so you want to spill our guts to them? At least they're smart enough to be secretive.
very, very valid statement. The thing is, do we lower ourselves? What of the sacrifice of our forefathers? Do we demean ourselves by lowering ourselves to their method? I mean, shows like 24 are all very fine and entertaining, but if we're actually doing the things that Jack Bauer are doing, does that make us real noble? Does that make us good Americans?
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm not saying that we're doing that, but if that's what we're doing, and if we have no way of having our government answer to us in any way, then we've taken that completely away from ourselves. We've stepped into the realm of fascism.
Okay.
And we no longer have them answering to us at all.
Let's see what Joe has to say. Joe and Salinas. let me bring him on here. I think we'll put us all together. Joe, you're on with Curtis and MZ, and Phil's in there somewhere.
Now, this is the best example of great radio programming that I've heard in a long time.
CMAW?
I mean, it's fantastic. It's because you stayed true to your conservative principles.
Yeah.
This is best radio. And you're able to dialogue with this gentleman who's from the other side in a civil fashion. You know, that won't always be the case, but this is absolutely...
That's what I've always been about at KSCO, but I haven't been very successful in recent years. Because I don't know what it is, Joe, but why is it? Liberals have always been they've always argued with conservatives and so forth, and people on the opposite points of view, but I've never seen so much... anger and vitriol and unwillingness to have a discussion like this. It's so polarizing. Why is our world so polarized now? What's changed? I don't understand it.
It hasn't changed, but the battle between good and evil, between right and wrong, is coming to a crescendo. And, I mean, it's like Civil War times. You know, people who are generally good people, but the truth and the critical issues are forcing a rethinking and decisions to be made.
Curtis is still on with us. If there's anything you want to say to him,
well, I just really appreciate his tone, and I appreciate that he's discussing in such a civil manner. I don't always speak civilly, but I really appreciate that he's articulating.
And I salute him for having the courage to call in, because, you know, he knows, I think, from checking the internet site that we're sort of a conservative station. right, Curtis?
Right. And I want to make something clear. I'm one who has actually kind of had his proverbial head in the sand until late, when I've started to really hear some of this. And I actually left a message for Trucker Tom, or I put in a voice comment asking him to label me, because I honestly don't know what I am. I've always thought that I've thought more conservatively, and now I'm finding that I don't agree with a lot of that. But I don't agree with a lot of liberal thinking either.
I don't like labels, but people label me all
there
the time just because I have a station that has Rush Limbaugh. I mean, automatically that means I'm a right wing extremist. Years ago, when the internet, even before the internet was really online, or you know, with the common folk, as it were, as it will, the Anti-Defamation League of the B'nai B'rith, a Jewish organization that my family has supported for many years, got taken over by people who thought that I was a skinhead because I put people on to talk about citizens' militia groups 11 years ago during the Oklahoma City bombing thing, and that made me a bad person when all I wanted to do was just have a dialogue with people.
There you go.
So what?
I was a bit reluctant to call in because I don't want to really cause a whole bunch of controversy. It seems like people are thinking all on left and all on right, like you say, very polarizing in their views. And then there's these names that are being called. And right now, I'm hearing it more coming from conservative talk radio or conservative pundits, if you will.
There's certainly a lot of that. I mean, Michael Savage, was certainly very, what's strident, and he certainly uses a lot of name calling. I don't think Limbaugh does that very much. I mean, he certainly bristles a lot of, people on the left, certainly. But, it's funny that you say that because what I hear when I'm listening to Air America is I hear nothing but bitching and moaning and name calling and zero substance. And we put it on the radio. We put it on the radio. Oh, gee, I started to tell you. God, I'm getting off track here. just a few months ago, we decided to turn KOMY, our smaller station, but it still gets out. It's got a pretty good reach throughout the Monterey Bay Area into an all pretty much a mostly liberal talk radio station with Air America personalities. And a lot of people have thanked us. A lot of people like Millie, who's going to be up next, think we're great, for doing that. But we've had a hell of a time getting advertisers. The only money we brought in is from people who appreciate us enough that they send in $20 a month or something, which is sweet and it's nice, but there's a reason, I guess, that you don't hear much conservative talk or much liberal talk radio that's a commercial success.
Michael, it's not sweet and nice. It's mean spirited.
No. I didn't say the talk radio was sweet and nice. I mean even
the fact that they're not supporting it. That where's the sweetness in that? If they really have their beliefs, they should be supporting.
Well, businesses aren't supporting. Okay, let's see if I can bring Millie on now. I don't know if we can get three of us on together, but let's try. Millie, are
Hello.
You there? Okay, it's a little echoey, but you are an example of someone who sends us money every month, right?
Yes, but I'm afraid I had to sever that a few days ago.
Oh, what happened?
I just can't afford it right now.
None of our business. Okay, Joe and Salinas is saying that it's not sweet and nice for people to not be supporting it, and I'm saying that's not true. You're someone who support. You just don't happen to be a business owner who has an advertising budget.
Well, that's all true. Like in our previous conversation last week, Michael, I told you that I am now convinced it's a lost cause after listening to various talk show hosts. Opinions and business people. I'm calling about evolution. May I do that?
Oh, okay. Well, let me put you on hold because we want to sort of finish off this conversation. We'll try to get you on unless you have a really quick comment about that, which you probably don't, huh?
Michael?
Yeah.
About what?
About evolution. But that's okay. Let me just finish with what we were saying before here. Go ahead, Joe, you're on.
Michael, this kind of programming is exactly the thing that's going to be good for your business, but more importantly, equally as importantly, it's going to be the most educative type of programming that you could possibly have. And I know you said, you've got the most intelligent listeners.
We do.
And we need to keep growing.
You must pass an intelligence test to be able to be permitted to listen to KSCO.
Wow.
I must have lost mine in the mail.
And here I am on it.
Yeah. All right.
Michael, it's great.
Okay, thanks, Salinas, Joe. Good to hear from you.
Bye-bye.
Hang in there. Now there's Gary in Monterey here. Let's bring Gary into the mix here. You're on the KSCO Saturday special with MZ and Curtis Cross. Hey.
Good morning, Michael. Long time no talk to.
It's terrible. What happened to you?
Busy working, and you're never around at lunchtime when I'm at work.
Okay.
As far one thing about this intelligent design thing, you kind of agreed to Billy's question that intelligent design is creationism, kind of revamped. Was that correct?
I asked him that.
And he
agreed.
And then some other guy agreed with that?
Yeah, it's just a different word, I think. So Billy's point early on was that people have sort of reinvented that word to make it more palatable so that it sounds, you know, less...
It's not the case because creationism says the universe, the world, all life on it was created whole. Evolution says it started from the Big Bang through a series of unique and possibly accidental circumstances, created a life form out of inanimate stuff, which mutated into different life forms, which evolved into all of the species of life we see now. Intelligent design does not say that everything was created whole, so how could it be creationism?
Okay, so I guess the creationism still sort of exists, and we just haven't talked about it, huh?
It seems like intelligent design, to me anyway, is kind of like the third way. It takes the two theories, creationism and evolution, squishes them together and says, you know, this kind of works out better.
Well, I'm happy you called with that insight.
You know, and in my daughter's school, at the end of the evolution part of life science, the teacher did bring forth intelligent design, and according to my daughter, because I wasn't sitting in the classroom, the word God was never mentioned.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. So what do you think of that?
Well, as I think it was Bill Graff had a show on this over the summer, I called in, and we got to talking about it, and like I said, it's who's to say that some higher intelligence, and if you want to call it God, go right ahead, that's fine by me, didn't just say, you know, I got this big universe here, why don't I just kind of put this stuff on this little planet over here, and here you go, have fun, and let's see what happens. What's wrong with that?
I'm scratching my head.
I've known there's been a big fuss about intelligent design, but I'd never heard it defined that way. I thought it was just a remarketing myself. But as far as intelligent design, they do not state that life was created whole. And well, in creationism, man was created whole, the animals were created whole, the earth was created whole, the universe was created whole.
God. 12 or 13 years ago, we did a Saturday special on creationism. I wonder if we can dig that out of the tape pile somewhere, because that definitely has not been encoded, so we can't put it up on the internet yet. But if I can find it, we will. Maybe we'll even replay it. Anyhow, Monterey Gary, thanks very much for your call. Appreciate it.
Okay.
And keep listening to I hope.
One thing, Michael.
Yeah.
Could you do me a favor?
I'll try.
Could you send all the hosts at Airhead America Kay's commentary, I believe it was entitled, Did You Know?
Oh, yeah.
Because every one of those people seem to think that all we're over there doing is tearing down everything in Iraq.
Yeah.
That we have done no good. They got less power, less water, less everything than before we got there.
Yeah. Well,
and
okay, that's
that
a great idea.
Your mom.
That's a great idea. Now, suppose we do that. What do you think is going to happen? Do you think they'll play it? And do you think they'll snicker and ridicule? Or do you think, I mean, what do you think? What do you think will happen?
I still can't see why you put these, you don't know how many radios I have gone through throwing a hammer at it when I listen to it. And I listen to it not because I like any of the posts or the information they give out, but this is out of loyalty to your station since I've listened to you since 89, you know.
Oh, during the earthquake, probably, huh?
Well, all the way back when you guys first started taking over. Originally, I listened to Rush, who I don't listen to anymore, and
You came on the air one day. That's the last time you and I talked was after John and Gordy got a little weird on the radio. We were discussing gays in the military after Clinton was elected.
Wow, long time.
You and Gordy got back on.
Well, it's nice to hear that you've been with us pretty much since then, even though you haven't called in much, huh?
Yeah, well, I do, but it's during the week and talk to Vernon and Cyril and Bill and whoever.
Okay.
You know, and occasionally. But please send them that editorial because your mom, I guess, did a lot of research on that. And you don't hear or read that anywhere. And this one kid on the job right now, the tile helper, he's 21. He just got out of the Army. He enlisted September 12th, served a full tour over there in Iraq. And what this guy tells me of what was going on over there and how the people treated him and what they think is a lot different than I ever hear on Airhead America.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And your mom is closer to the deal.
Okay. Gary, thanks a lot for your call.
Good show, Michael.
Appreciate it. Thanks for the kind words, too. Okay, that's now we're going to go to none other than Downtown Al.
Oh, wow. My little moniker's working out here, huh?
How are you, DTA?
You should go as Skinhead Mike, then.
Okay.
Those guys are crazy if they think you're a skinhead. But anyway,
yeah.
Is Tucker Curtis still on?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Oh, I just think it's great. You know, I do like a lot of traveling, and I stop in sometimes at some of these truck stops, and you see all the guys in there buying cell phones and satellite radios, and they've got laptop computers, and, you know, they're...
These guys are what keeps the country commerce rolling. I mean, that's it.
Well, it's pretty amazing, though, that they're like this high-tech electronic society now, you know, and they've all got something to say about everything now, and they're able to, you know. They don't have to just sit there and listen to radio.
Exactly.
That's one thing that kind of bugs me, because a lot of times when I leave the area, you know, and I go up over Hecker Pass 152 and I'm listening to, 1340 or 1080, you know, and, the signal starts to bleed out and it's like, oh, I have to switch to whatever's on.
Not on 1080, it better not.
Well, you know, you get in some of those canyons and stuff, and as you head down south on 5,
uh-oh,
you lose it.
I want you to call us, because we have a problem. That should never happen close in. Now, if you're in Nevada or extreme northern or southern California, that's a different story. But Hecker Pass, something's wrong here. Thanks for letting me know.
Well, if you go down the other side, you go down into the canyon and stuff there, it starts to break up a bit. Maybe I just have a lousy antenna, too, though.
Oh, I hope so.
Anyway, so maybe you'll go satellite one of these days.
Oh, well.
Anyway,
yeah.
Well, I just wanted to...
I hate having to carry those ads saying XM Satellite 1, Valerie Nothing, or whatever it was, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, geez. We don't even get paid for that. It's just awful. Anyhow, what else?
Well, I was just going to talk about Kay's commentary.
Oh, good.
You know, a lot of times I think there's differences of opinion that everybody has the same facts and they still disagree with each other. But sometimes I think there's differences of opinions between left and right, and some of it's based on different facts. And, I'm not sure that the Democrats are self-destructing or anything like that. It's just that, you know, it's like Curtis said, if we're going to have terrorism as an ongoing war, we can't let our society start to fall apart by, you know, accepting torture as a, you know, on a regular basis and setting up all these illegal secret gulags with a bunch of prisoners in them.
Yeah.
And
right.
You know, it's one of those corny things. It's like, yeah, then the terrorists have won, but you know, it's true to a certain extent. The secret prisons that they've shown that CIA's been operating in these other countries, and the stuff at Guantanamo, and there's a lot of experts that say, hey, you know, the torture doesn't really work. And it hasn't necessarily been our own military that was so involved in the torture. It's been these private contractors that have been paid to do this stuff, and they're not abiding by military standards. I have a lot of faith in our own military. And I really believe if this war had really been turned over to the military, they would have done a much cleaner job on stuff. They would have had more troops over there. They would have fought the enemy in a much better way than having these guys in the Bush administration involved in it and interfering with everything for their own, you know, corrupt political reasons. And, you know, I truly believe that.
Oh, geez. You know, I appreciate what you said, DTA, but it's 11:55, and we haven't done our commercial break for this hour. My God. I mean, how are we going to survive? I mean, if I don't adopt a different attitude, no one's going to have KSCO or KOMY to kick around anymore. So,
well, I'm willing to hang on if you're willing to keep me. I got some other points.
Oh my God! And go, Phil.
Yeah, this one'll just be a minute 30. I killed the promos for you.
Thank you. Okay, let's just do it. Thanks.
Hello,
Mark.
Yes,
Dennis here from Day and Night Computer.
Hey, what's up, Dennis?
Checking in on you, man. I haven't heard from you. Most of the time people get a new computer, they call me with a question or two.
I don't really have any questions yet.
But you're pretty happy with it, though, aren't you?
Oh, yeah. I'm very, very happy with it, Dennis. It's very impressive. Thank you so very much. It's a godsend. It really is. Better than anything you could buy at the store, that's for sure. So everything's working good on it so far. Yeah, I'm just very grateful to you for selling me such a good computer. Maybe that's why I haven't called you, because it was working so good. It's so darn fast. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, is that what you like the most?
Yeah, the speed and the features that it has. You know, it's just a very nice computer.
Talk to Day and Night Computers. Call 465-7340. That's 465-7340. Do yourself a favor.
If you think you missed the boat on low mortgage rates, think again. This is Jim Chubb with Pacific Inland with more good news for homeowners and home buyers. There are still mortgage loan programs that offer low rates and lower payments than you can possibly imagine. If your goal is to save money on mortgage payments, pull cash out for any reason, or to pay your home off early, please call Pacific Inland today at 475-2600. That's Pacific Inland at 475-2600, licensed by the California Department of Real Estate.
3 minutes. The noon, you're listening to AM 1080 KSCO Santa Cruz. Now back to the Saturday special.
What a guy. Thank you, Phil. Oh my God, there's so much in the email that I haven't read, and there's poor Liz and Felton, and poor Millie, I guess, is hung up. I don't know, but anyhow, okay, Downtown Al, see if you can finish it up in 30 seconds, okay, if possible.
No, if you want a war to keep going, you need to have the entire society behind this. This isn't like World War II, where we had victory gardens and rationing.
That's all my mom has been saying.
And the whole society involved in it. And, you know, all my relatives that went through all this and were in the war and stuff, you didn't hear them complaining about the war. They might have said certain things were terrible, but the whole society supported it. And I think that's because it was overall observed as like a just war, and everybody was involved in it, and, you know, all had a, you know, poker in the fire, so
got
to
it.
Speak.
Okay.
Just one last thing about MRSA. This guy knows what he's talking about. I mean, this guy was a volunteer. I don't even know if he might have even been in World War II, but he was in Korea and through Vietnam. And when somebody starts to criticize what's going on like him, you really should listen to it.
But wait a minute. But he said that we should cut and run. That's exactly what he said.
Well, there may be a certain...
And that's crazy, Al. You're a smart guy.
I know. I may totally disagree, but I said people should listen to him about what he's saying, though, the reason he's criticizing about it, because he's so thoroughly frustrated with what's going on. And I know there's a lot of good going on, too. You know, Americans are good guys. You can't help but being involved in... water, setting up water and sewer systems, and, you know, I'm sure the kids love most American soldiers, and I know they're doing a lot of good stuff, and maybe there should be some more talk about that.
Oy,
but,
babe.
You know,
okay.
We also bombed the hell out of their infrastructure, and there's a lot of people that are suspicious about why we did all that. Was that just a freebie for all the contractors to build stuff?
Okay.
Anyway.
We got to go.
Thanks a lot. You guys are great.
Thank you. Jeez. All right. Executive decision here. I guess I'm a podcaster at heart and always have been, because we're supposed to break for the news in 15, 14, 13 seconds, and I'm going to eat into the news. That's an executive decision, because I can do that if I want to.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah. All right. Now, so I'm going to read just a few of these emails here, and people will have to do without their Fox News Fox Radio News top of the hour here for a little bit anyhow. I'm sure that doesn't break Curtis's heart. Are they idiots? So this looks good. What is it? Yeah, the Big Fat Idiot Show is heard worldwide through the shortwave broadcast of WRNO in the black backwoods of Louisiana. The Monster Signal competes with four. What's he talking about? KMJ. Oh, they're talking about Rush. Now, is that a nice thing to say, Terry in Santa Cruz? It says Rush, Al Franken, and Phil Hendry are podcasting too. Shows can be downloaded from their website. I've seen. Okay, that's not podcasting. I'm sorry, it's not. Any idiot can duplicate a show that's broadcast like this. And podcast, that's not a podcast. A podcast is some original, interesting, different, innovative content. Come on, Terry, I'm surprised at you. All right, Trucker Tom, here's something about Trucker Tom. My apologies if I insulted you on Trucker Tom. I agree with Tom's assessment of the Passion of the Christ. Billy Sunshine should review it. And it's still he's still calling himself Information. I don't believe that that's the person's real name, Information. I'm sorry, I don't. Alan Bailey, West Side Al. Intelligent design, iPods, I'm falling asleep. I've only been awake for 6 hours. And I've only been awake 6 hours. Al, you're perfectly welcome to turn off the dial. How much you want to bet he's still listening? Hi, Michael. This is from Bob Widman. It is Saturday, the 7th. Great show. I emailed you a little while back and asked about how I could listen to the Saturday special where Craig from Craigslist was on. I never heard back on the question. I was out of town and missed that show, and I would really like to listen to what happened that morning. How do I listen to it? It might be interesting to inform other listeners about how they can listen to past shows, if that is even possible. Thanks, MZ. Keep up the good work. Your mom is right on in her latest editorial. Thanks, Bob Widman. Okay, what you can do, ladies and gentlemen, is go to the KSCO.com website, click on Saturday Special. On the Saturday Special link, it's a little tiny link in the left-hand margin. And if you have a playlist, and I'm sure you do, I'm looking at a playlist on my Winamp, and I know there's a playlist on Windows Media Player. If you click on Playlist while you're listening to the latest Saturday Special, it should show you a bunch of Saturday Specials that go back years. And they're properly labeled with the dates and the subjects. So all you have to do is click on that, and you'll be able to hear it. And the Craigslist, the Craig Newbark Saturday special was on 2 weeks ago, I think. Am I right, Phil?
Yeah, we actually have a couple talk show hosts who are needing to get into the studio. So
okay.
I'm going to have to run out of here.
Okay, there he goes. So all right, well, the guy that hates Kay, oh, my gosh. Michael, if you listen to this guy, you can tell he is a phony just the way he pretended not to know her last name and fumbled with the call letters. I don't know what his game is, but he's a phony. Ellie. Okay. You can let them come into the studio and we'll finish up myself here, okay? Is that cool? Well, he must be gone already. All right. Let's just put Curtis back on and thank him for calling. And hope you'll call again, Curtis.